All right, we're in the home stretch of this series about Mary and Martha and the visit that Jesus had with them. So go ahead and please take your Bible and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. Then go to chapter number 10, where we've been zeroed in on verses 38 through 42. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now, for the better part of 2 months, we have devoted all of our attention to this one story in the Bible. And church, what a gold mine we have discovered as the Holy Spirit has excavated precious jewel after precious jewel as we have meagerly tried to tap into the deep reservoirs of the Scripture. Now, I'll go ahead and speak for myself personally. Church, it's changed my life. And that's what God's Word is supposed to do. And I'm now praying for the grace for you and I to go out and live the mediocrity-shattering change that this Scripture has produced. Brother Keith, God's Word is a hammer. Now, some people don't believe that, but the Bible is very clear. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29 says this, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer, which breaketh the rock in pieces?" And when used correctly, the word of God is more than adequate to break the hardness of our hearts, more than adequate to knock down the walls in our life, more than adequate to fasten things back together again so that our hearts and spirits can be mended. Church, this book, the Bible, can do just that for you. Again, the title of the series, Mary, Martha, and Mothers, Oh My. If you found your place in Luke chapter 10, I'm going to ask that you go ahead and stand with me this morning for the reading of the Word of God. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Altogether, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." And all God's people said,
Amen.
Thank you, and you may be seated. Again, the title of the message, Mary, Martha, and Mothers, Oh My. Well, this morning we're going to continue right on in our fourth major point in this series, the mismatched feelings toward Christ. Now, we've already talked about Martha's fretful feelings. This morning, we want to wrap up our thoughts about Mary's faithful feelings. And the first thing we noted was that Mary's seeds develop with fruit over time. While Mary was sitting there at the feet of the Master, she was feeding, she was growing strong, she was filling up the fountainhead, she was gathering a heart-formulated work that she would pour out on the Lord Jesus Christ in a very revealing way. Now, at the beginning, it seemed that Martha was the more fruitful of the two sisters. But in the end, Mary's fruit dwarfed that of her sister Martha. Mary's seeds develop with fruit over time. Number two this morning, I want you to see Mary's submission depends upon faith and trust. Look at verse 39. "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Now, did you notice where Mary was? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. You say, "Preacher, No kidding, I think we got that by now. Fair enough, so humor me just for a moment. Now, to sit at someone's feet implies submission. It tells us that Mary was ready to believe whatever Jesus would say. But even further, it shows us that Mary was ready to obey and to trust whatever Jesus was going to say. And friend, there is a big difference in saying we believe what Jesus says and then going out and actually obeying and trusting what Jesus says. But take Martha. Martha wasn't sitting. Martha was standing. And standing implies resistance. It implies a rebellion. Martha was not quite as ready to do whatever Jesus instructed. In fact, it couldn't even be said that Martha stood in the presence of Jesus Christ the entire time that he sat there and taught. But she was too busy doing this thing and that thing in this room of the house and in that room of the house to even hear what Christ had to say. And because of the demeanor of Mary, that of submission, Jesus had something very encouraging. He had something very empowering to say to her. Look at verse number 42, if you will. Jesus said, "But one thing is needful, and Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Now, Brother Danny, what is that one thing that Jesus speaks of? Friend, we need to know what that is so that, like Mary, we too can receive words of encouragement and words of empowerment. And I tell you the truth, if there's one thing that believers today need, they need words of encouragement and they need words of empowerment. So what is it? What is the one thing that Christ speaks of? Well, we've pounded it here and there throughout this series, but in plain terms, it is to listen very faithfully and very trustingly to what Christ says. Nothing more and nothing less. Now, you may feel that to be a little bit of a letdown, to find that's all the one thing needful is. But church, it is so very vital, and it is not easy to do. In fact, Martha, who was a very dedicated disciple, Martha had trouble in this area. The one thing needful is not Jesus Christ. That would be easy, wouldn't it? Hey, I'm saved. I got Jesus. I got the one thing needful. That's all the Lord wants from me. And listen to me, salvation is needful. It's the most needful thing in the world. And if you're not saved, you need to trust Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. But salvation is not in the context of our text. Because Jesus is speaking to two women, two sisters who are already both saved women. In addition, I don't think Jesus would refer to himself as a thing. In fact, when Jesus spoke of himself, he declared without hesitation that he alone was the thrice holy God. Over in the Gospel of John, seven times, which is the number of perfection, which is the number of God, seven times when speaking of himself in the Gospel of John, Jesus said this. He said, "I am." And we know that is the great name of Almighty God. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 8, Jesus said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which was, which is, and which is to come, the Almighty." So, if the one thing needful in our text is not Jesus, then what is it? Friend, it is our need to be full of Jesus. Need full of Jesus. Because like Martha, we can have the Lord yet not be full of him. And the Lord says to those, one thing is needful. We're talking about Mary's submission, how it depends upon faith and trust. Now, sitting there at Jesus' feet is nothing in itself. But, Brother Jim, what it symbolizes is everything. For it demonstrates a perfectly pliable position that is not resistant to the Word of God. It just accepts, it just obeys what Jesus says without any admixture of rebellion or no excuses. Church, I'm telling you, the faith and trust of Mary depended on her submission to the Word of God. And I tell you very truthfully that it is impossible for you and I to say that we're living a life of faith unless that life is also submitted to the words of this book. To not be submitted to the Word of God, that is not submission, it is sedition. Mary was very submissive, and she received the words of empowerment. She received those words of encouragement from the mouth of the Lord. For Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Church, that is mighty comforting. Now, like Mary, when we really believe something, and we're talking about what Jesus Christ says in His Word, when we really believe that, then we are going to invest the time that it takes to make sure that we are consistently there to hear what He says to us. Now, Martha did not take that time, did she? She was busy with other things, while Mary did take that time. Which one was Jesus more pleased with? The Lord Jesus is not physically present with us here today, like He was to speak directly to those when He walked those dusty shores of Galilee 2,000 years ago. So for us today, that would mean for us to go to the house of God and listen to Bible-believing preacher from a man that stands firm on the Word of Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, are you saying Jesus cannot speak to me individually through His Word at home? Not at all. That happens all the time. But the context of our text has to do with a gathering of believers where a preacher is present. That happens in church, not at home. Like Mary, when we submissively come and we hear the Word of God preach, then our faith is strengthened. It's one of the plainer principles found in the Word of God. My brothers and sisters, did you know that through the preaching of the Word of God, that the children of God can become E-verified? Yes, we can. Through the preaching of the Word of God, number one, we get encouraged. We get encouraged to believe in the power of God. Through preaching, we get exhorted. Exhorted that the death of Jesus Christ is the atonement for our sin. Through preaching, we get empowered. Empowered to know that His resurrection is our victory. Through preaching, we get engaged. Engaged to go forth and do the work of a disciple, evangelizing this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Through preaching, we get edified to live a holy and a righteous life, a life that is turning away from sin. Through preaching, we get enveloped in the sweet fellowship of believers with the promise of the presence of Jesus Christ with us. And friends, we just can't get all of that at home by ourselves. Yes, through the preaching of the Word of God, the people of God become E-verified. Let me give you a verse, Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace. Watch this. Which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all of them which are sanctified. Be built up. Receive the inheritance of the family of God. Do it through the hearing of the preaching of the Word of God. We're talking about Mary's faithful feelings. We've seen that Mary's submission depends on faith and trust. Number three, Mary's scriptural discipleship is following and training. Now here's a woman who knew what it was to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, in this series, we've seen Mary place Jesus ahead of several things in her life. We've seen her put Jesus ahead of her family when she did it with her sister Martha. We've seen her put Jesus ahead of her friends there in the house of Simon the leper. And we've seen Mary put Jesus ahead of her finances when she broke the alabaster box and she anointed his head and his feet. Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 and 38, Jesus said, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not up his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." That's true discipleship. That's Mary. It's more than just dialogue. It is our deeds. It's more than just our talk. It's also how we walk. Faith is important, but so is discipleship. Let me give you a verse. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord." Brother Patrick, there's your faith. Receiving Christ Jesus the Lord. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." There's the discipleship, the walking, the growing in the Lord. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Watch this. "Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Faith is important, but so is discipleship. In fact, we are commanded to make disciples wherever we go. It's the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. "Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Following and training, that's real discipleship. Listen to me. We must learn, then we must go and labor. If we are taught the right doctrines of God, then we will be trained in the right deeds of God. God will not reveal his perfect will to those that refuse to be his discerning disciples. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learn them." Doesn't that sound just like Mary sitting there at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ? "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." The Word of God is our teacher. You and I are the trainees. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and see in me, do, and the peace of God shall be with you." Jesus speaks, and we listen. Jesus commands, and then we go. That's true discipleship. It is that childlike spirit. Without it, there is no salvation. There is no discipleship. We must follow the Word. Not only does Mary scriptural discipleship, not only is it following and training, number four, I want you to see that Mary's service demonstrates a fascination with teacher. Now, Martha ministered to the physical needs of Christ. She gave him a place to stay. She had a meal for him. Mary ministered in a truer sense. She ministered to the spiritual needs of Christ. Yes, Martha had the house clean. Yes, Martha had a dish of delicacies ready. But Mary served Christ according to his title. Brother Caleb, some call Jesus a glutton, but Jesus Christ was no glutton. He was a teacher, and Mary honored the treasured title of teacher. teacher, for the greatest joy that a teacher can receive is that those to whom they are teaching are actually listening, that they are attentive, that they are absorptive, that they are accepting to that which they are hearing. I know that's the greatest joy that I receive. And sitting there at his feet was ample proof that Mary was just fascinated with the words of our Lord. And you know, I believe Jesus Christ is delighted, just delighted when you and I demonstrate that same type of spirit that Mary had. Look at her. She really is listening. Look at him. Look at my child. He really is ready to do whatever I ask. Oh, friends, I believe that is a sweet savor to our sovereign Savior. And therefore, if he bids us to go and serve tables like Martha, we'll go. If he bids us to break open the alabaster box and to anoint his hands and feet like Mary, we will do it. If he bids us to talk to folks about their need of Jesus Christ, to invite them to church and to stay on them, to keep coming to church. And by the way, he bids us exactly to do that in the Great Commission. If he bids us to serve in open positions in the ministry, we make ourselves available. And while our physical bodies are up and performing those duties, our heart remains in a position of submission, the absolutely necessary position of ministry. Because we were all once the servants of sin. And if you're saved, you ought to now be the servant of the Savior, Jesus Christ. And I present to you, everybody in here this morning, whether you're saved or lost, men or women, everybody in here this morning, you're either a servant of sin or you are the servant of the Savior. We must be fascinated with the teachings of Jesus Christ, with his rules, like Mary was. You know, in this day of apostasy, that word is despised by preachers. You never hear it coming out of the pulpit anymore. That might scare people away, but there's no honest way around it. Jesus has rules, and they are made clear in his teaching. Not only do we see Mary's service demonstrates a fascination with teacher, number five, I want you to see Mary's sensitive devotion is favorable and thirsty. When she sat at Jesus' feet, that was a very sensitive sign of Mary's devotion to the Son of God. And church, I want to tell you, when you and I find ourselves in that same position, it is also a sure sign of our love for the Son of God. Now, ask yourself, are you constantly, consistently in a position to receive the words of Jesus Christ? Are you studying the Word of God at home? Are you there corporately when the Word of God is being preached? Not only are we allured by His words, but by every jot and tittle. I'm telling you, every syllable charms the soul. And Brother Jim, not just the easy preaching, but even the hard things of God are sweet to the hungry soul. Let me give you a verse. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 7. The full soul loatheth the honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Amen. Heavy or light, his word is our delight. And what is it that makes the tough things such easy medicine? Church, is it not the assurance of knowing that God loves us? Is it not the assurance in knowing that God means us no harm? So we gladly embrace the penetrating precepts. We gladly receive the severe statutes. We gladly learn the more challenging commands. They become more valuable to us than the spikenard that is in the alabaster box. Psalm 19 and verse number 10, more to be desired are they, the words of God. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Now friends, when you and I get to that place concerning this book, the Bible, then we have achieved the one thing that is needful. Let us be sensitive to that. May we do it out of a sense of our love and devotion for Jesus Christ. Those are Mary's faithful feelings. Mary's seeds develop with fruit over time. Mary's submission depends on faith and trust. Mary's scriptural discipleship is following and training. Mary's service demonstrates a fascination with teacher. And Mary's sensitive devotion is favorable and thirsty. That is Mary's faithful feelings. And my brother and sister, I pray that you have been able to glean somewhat from those feelings and that you would go out and put those to practice in your Christian life as you learn to walk with God. Mary, Martha, and mothers, oh my. Well, we began with the meaningful foreword for clarity. We then moved on and we talked about the mismatched focus on Christ, the mismatched fellowship with Christ. We just talked about the mismatched feelings toward Christ. And number five, and we'll close with this morning, I want to talk to you about the master's finger of caution. I want to draw your attention to a few words. Look at verses 41 and 42. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now, did you notice what Jesus said to Martha in verse 41? He said, you are cumbered and careful about many things. And then in verse 42, he says, but one thing. Jesus was giving caution to Martha. Caution that her plate was just too full. There was the many things versus the one thing. And I know you mothers can certainly testify of the pressure of the many little things. I know at a glance, to us men, it certainly doesn't seem like there's very much to do. But when you start adding it all up, the dishes and the dusting, the washing and the drying, the cooking and the cosmetics, don't get mad when she takes so long to get prettied up for you. The cooking and the cosmetics, the bathroom and the babies, the floors and the walls, the yarn and the yard, it really begins to add up. It may not seem like a lot at first glance, but there is just so much to do, and it takes all the strength and energy right out of you. Church, can I tell you, the same thing is also true concerning the ministries in the house of God. And I want you to notice the mistake that Jesus is throwing a word of caution to. It is not in serving. No, it is being cumbered with serving. It is not in serving. It is the much serving that Christ gives caution to. Listen to me. When we let the serving get to us, is it not true that we have not been spending very much time at the feet of Jesus Christ in our life? Amen. Hey, we find peace at the throne of grace. But when we forsake the throne of grace in our life, the many things come along and it steals our peace of mind and runs away with our peace of mind like a stampede of wild horses. We become cumbered in our service. The master's finger of caution. Notice that Jesus never says to Martha that in her being cumbered about many things that she ever lost the one thing that was needful, or that she no longer had a place in the good part which could not be taken away from her. No, she was just out of balance. And the gentle Jesus is trying to restore a sense of balance back into the life of his servant Martha, if she would receive it. Unfortunately, as we have seen throughout this series, it never seems that Martha really received that which was Christ was trying to show her. Though he loved them both equally, unequivocally, the Lord Jesus, the righteous judge, he will always stand with right. And so Jesus cautions Martha against the temptations she was now facing in her heart and life due to her being out of balance spiritually. And church, when we find ourselves there, the end result for us is going to be the same as it was for Martha. We miss the one thing that is needful. Not that we don't have it, that we can't have it, we just miss it. Our work for God is not proper if we don't accept the free gift of sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. We must have balance. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 1, a false balance is abomination to the Lord. Without that balance, that just weight, hey, the dishes may be done, but they're dirty. The cooking may be completed, but it's charred. The cleaning may have reached its conclusion, but it's still cluttered. The preparation is done, but it is polluted. I mean, the stuff, we still do it, the things that have to be done, but the stuff we do is stuffed with contention and strife. It's just cumbered. John chapter 15 and verse number 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Amen. Church, we must learn to sit first. It's free, and it makes us free to go out and do the work of God with God-fearing peacefulness. The Martha mother must turn it around. The cumbered Christian must learn to turn it around and go from a few minutes at Jesus' feet. Isn't the way that works? Lord, bless me today. Help me in this work I got to do. And then off to 3 or 4 or 5, 6, 7 hours in the ministry laboring for the Lord. We must learn to turn it around for an hour at Jesus' feet for every hour of service. Then our work will be blessed with the power of God. Then we can go out and do the work of God with a Christ-like spirit and strength. And so with his gentle reproof, Jesus is trying to show Martha that she needs to develop the Mary-like spirit as she continued in her walk with the Lord. And for all the workers who are out there today, whatever church you attend, whatever ministry you're involved in, you must learn to shift some of your focus to sitting more at the feet of Jesus Christ. Else, like Martha, you're going to find yourself cumbered about with much serving. It's not the best way to be striving to get it all just right in order to honor the Lord unless we are also first both right with and in the Lord. But Mary, if Mary was following the truth of the teaching of Jesus Christ, and by all appearances, she certainly was, then she also found instruction for herself. And that is this. It can't just be the worshiper. The worshiper must realize that work is also required in the ministry. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Yes, the Lord calls us to listen in meditation, but the Lord also calls us to go out and labor in the ministry. And surely Mary caught the truth of that. For the sole purpose of any Christian sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ is for them to gain the strength needed in order to get up and go and follow in his footsteps. The perfect balance is found there. That is where the blessing is found. That's where the fruit of God is found. Being a hearer of the word and then going out and being a doer of the word. Brother Jim, if Mary had failed to follow through with the work, if she had failed to break open the alabaster box and anoint the head and feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, then she would have been out of step with the Lord. Let me give you a verse in James. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Did you know that if all you do is listen to the word of God and you know never go out and perform labor in the ministry, that you are actually deceiving yourself? For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and he doesn't continue therein, he not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. That man shall be blessed in his deed. Blessing. When achieved, the crown can be won through the due diligence of balancing the task of Mary and Martha, with the end result being heavenly life right here on earth. A life that is full of love, a life that is full of following and training, a life that is full of doing and obeying what we have heard Jesus teach us while we were at his feet. Listen to me. And that love can only be seen by first doing as Mary did, sitting there, hearing, receiving the word of God with a submissive spirit, and then in a sweeter, nobler, and more wholesome spirit, going out and doing the work of God as Martha did. We see that displayed in the life of two apostles of our Lord who excelled far and above the other disciples. Those disciples, those apostles, John and Paul. Remember after Jesus was crucified and the news came to the disciples who were hiding out, and the news came to them that Jesus had risen from the dead. Two of the disciples, they went running there to the tomb. Do you remember who those were? John and Peter. Peter and John both ran. John was able to outrun Peter. John had balance in his life, and he could run the race as he should. Peter was out of balance, and he could not run as he should. John did the work of a disciple, like Martha. But John also laid on the bosom of Jesus Christ, taking in his word like Mary. Naturally, I believe John leaned more to the Mary type of character than he did Martha. He was always close to the Lord Jesus Christ. That couldn't be said of the other disciples. During those last hours, they scattered, they fled, but John was right there with the Lord the whole time. The others fled, but John was there. And then John balanced that when he wrote 5 of the 27 books of the New Testament. That's almost 20% of the New Testament. And he was given the name the Son of Thunder. But as we said, Peter was out of balance. Peter took his sword and he whacked off the ear of Malchus, the old Roman guard. He told Jesus, "Hey, you can't go to the cross and die." The Bible says he actually rebuked the Lord. And do you know what Jesus told him? He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things which be of God." Why? Because at that time, Peter was out of balance. He was a lot like Martha. He was so busy working that he did not have time to hear what Jesus said about his death. Therefore, John could outrun him. Now let's think about Paul. Paul leaned more to the Martha side than he did to the Mary side. He was the hardest working of all the apostles. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 10, "But by the grace of God, Paul said, I am what I am. And his grace was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me." Paul said, "I was the hardest working of all the apostles. Put them all together, I beat them, everyone." But Paul was also constantly at the feet of Christ. Notice the last phrase there, "Yet not I, but the grace of God was with me." Sir, like Paul, you may be a hard worker, a superior worker, laboring in the ministry for the Lord, greater than all the others in the church. But if you do not learn to offset that with the grace of God, listen to me, you're going to be quick and hasty in your words. You're going to take the sword of your tongue and whack off the ear of the brethren in the church with your hasty words and your temper, just like Martha in our story, cause pain and develop bitter feelings toward those who are not like you. The master's finger of caution. The work of the ministry has to be done. But church, the Lord Jesus taught us the proper order to do the work of the ministry. First, we must feed in a submissive way, receiving the Word of God, not selectively parsing through the Word of God. You know, a lot of Christians do that. If they read something they agree with, that's with their tradition, that's what their the church they're a part of says, hey, I'll go with that. But let something rub the wrong way, that shows their tradition was wrong, that shows their way of thinking was wrong, that shows the church they're in is wrong. And then all of a sudden, they're not submissive anymore. They're resistant and they're rebellious. That type of worker will eventually fade and fall by the wayside in the work of Jesus Christ. He may flourish and blossom for a time, but he's eventually going to wither away. The right way, receiving the Word of God, the heavy things, the light things, gaining the strength, and then let the Lord give you a heartfelt, heart-formed work that you can do for His glory in the church of God. And like Mary, it'll be a lasting memorial. It won't be burnt up as wood, hay, and stubble at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Isn't that the labor you're looking for? This church has many areas of need for the ministry. We need laborers, but we need laborers who are filled with the strength of God to do the labor the right way. So the fruit abounds, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Be careful. Be careful about working for work's sake. Make sure you have the proper order. Your relationship with God first, filled with strength, and then your service for God as an outflowing of that power.